Joining us now for an update on what's going on in the community around Fort Hood, Texas, which is the largest combat military base in the United States. Olga Pena is managing editor of the Killeen Daily Herald. Good morning again, Olga.
Good morning.
First of all, you know, we've got a lot more information about the suspect, and we've got a lot more in terms of ceremonies and events at the base. There's a memorial service scheduled for tomorrow. What are the preparations like at this point?
Well, the community is just, it's unbelievable how they're rallying around. Yesterday was Sunday, and of course, numerous churches in the area held many different services for these soldiers. Even Saturday was the same way. So people are looking forward to tomorrow's event. I think it's going to be a massive, massive turnout as this community rallies in a way that I've just never seen before.
You know, I've been to ceremonies where soldiers come back from deployments, and you have around the base kind of symbols, little shrines that are set up. I remember a welcome home, you know, written in styrofoam cups in chain link fences. Are things like that happening at the base where you see little mementos here and there around the base in very sort of special ways expressed?
Absolutely, everywhere. It's in the community even before you get close to Fort Hood at various signs. Anybody who has a billboard or a sign, you know, they've changed what the message says. It says, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with those victims and their families. And at Fort Hood, towards the entrances, you can see flags that are set up. There are flags in the ground. There are persons actually waving flags outside with signs, not because anyone is around, but just showing that they are supportive of these families. It's unbelievable.
Well, Olga Pena, managing editor of the Killeen Daily Herald, covering the events there, as we said, a memorial service tomorrow. Olga, thanks so much for helping us to understand what this community is going through. Okay, expressions of solidarity there. You hear that from Olga Pena, but is it enough? What do service people and their families, and particularly service professionals who are who have the responsibility of helping service members with the stresses of deployments, do they have the resources that they need? It's certainly a question posed in the aftermath of what happened at Fort Hood. Joining us now is Brett A. Moore, a clinical psychologist who served as a psychologist in the U.S. Army from 2003 to 2008, was in Iraq for 27 months. Brett Moore, good morning.
Good morning.
And Nelson Ford is the CEO of LMI. He's the former undersecretary of the Army. That's a civilian member of the civilian leadership of the Army. And Nelson Ford, good morning.
Good morning.
Brett Moore, first of all, we heard a lot last Friday about the stress of dealing with people who are under stress in terms of multiple deployments. What's that like? I mean, what is that stress like as you talk to soldier after soldier after soldier?
Well, it's trying. It takes a toll on a mental health professional having to hear. I mean, not seeing, obviously, seeing traumatic events is one thing, but also hearing traumatic events and helping soldiers get through these issues it really takes a toll on mental health providers. And you can develop what some call compassion fatigue, which is where you really lose connection with your patients and really possibly lose even empathy and experience your own psychological symptoms related to that.
So what happens? I mean, who do you talk to when you need to talk to someone? I mean, do you go home and kick your dog? I mean, excuse me, but I mean, I'm wondering where the outlets are for someone like you.
Well, yeah, it's a great question. You have to be able to recognize when you're not functioning the best that you could. You have an obligation to your patients, so hopefully the individual will say, listen, something's not going on the way it should be. I need to talk to another professional. And with Army psychology, it's a very close-knit community, and everyone knows everyone. So not only do you have people looking out for you, but there's usually that open-door policy where if you feel you're struggling a little, you can go to a superior or even a peer and say, I need some help getting through this. Can you give me some perspective?
Nelson Ford, you were the former Undersecretary of the Army. You know, he's talking about the support of the military having trouble dealing with it. And we see this in other professions. Actually, war correspondents often have to come home and get mental health care when they deal with the things that they're hearing about and the things that they're seeing. What kind of support does the Army have, does the military have for the support staff of the military?
Oh, the support is great. I have to say that the Army has done such a good job at making sure that people are identified when they have problems. Beginning in 2005, there were both pre- and post-deployment health assessments for both physical and mental condition. In in 2007, it instituted universal PTSD training so that you could identify who was showing the symptoms of PTSD and telling soldiers what to do about it. There was a major effort in 2008 to understand suicide and why the suicide rates were increasing. And just recently, the Army announced a new program of resilience training so that soldiers can be trained to both physically and mentally prepare to be in these tough environments.
Well, Brett Moore, I don't want to be argumentative, and in the short time that we have, I'll take this question back to Brett Moore. I mean, given those increases in resources that Nelson Ford talks about, former Undersecretary of the Army, it was apparently missed here. I mean, Major Nidal Malik Hassan did not, A, take the initiative to get help, and nobody noticed that he was getting near some sort of a breaking point. Brett Moore, what's your response to that?
Well, there has to be some personal responsibility. When you go through training as any psychologist, psychiatrist, you're taught that you need to be aware of some of the symptoms in yourself, and there is that personal responsibility. You have to ask for help. Hopefully, your peers, if something's going on, they will recognize that, they will confront you with it, and then refer that up the chain of command so you can go get some type of help. So it's not.
But hopefully, isn't going to help the 12 dead in Fort Hood.
Well, it's not a perfect system, but right. I think it's the same in the civilian sector.
Right.
There is no safety net. Nelson talked about an increase that the Army has done. They have done a tremendous job, in my opinion, as well. But, again, there's that personal right. responsibility.
Well, Brett, I have to ask you before we go. You know, Nelson Ford talks about the resources. But obviously, and we don't want to justify under any circumstances what went on. There's no explanation for it, and authorities are going to talk to the suspect. What was your breaking point, Brett A. Moore, when you decided you'd had enough?
Well, my situation is a little unique.
Very quickly.
I did a 12-month and then a back 15-month deployment, and I decided I needed to take a break and do something else.
And burnout was really the issue there.
Yeah, professional burnout was part of the
problem. All right,
problem.
Great discussion. Brett Moore, clinical psychologist, served in Iraq for 27 months. Nelson Ford, CEO, former Undersecretary of the Army, works for the LMI Corporation. Thanks to both of you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.